From myths to models to madness. Annoying AI talking about interesting things.
Let's get started.
Okay, so get ready, because we are diving deep into AI and copyright law.
Definitely a hot topic right now.
Yeah, especially with everything happening in Hollywood right now with the strikes and all that.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, though. I was looking at some of the articles that you sent over.
Mm-hmm.
And this one about James Cameron's take on it really stood out to me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's not just saying, oh, AI can be used for, you know, some special effects here and there or something.
Yeah.
He's talking about, like, AI making entire movies.
He really is. And it's interesting because I think he even acknowledges that.
Yeah.
You know, to even get to that point, we need, like, a serious overhaul of the legal landscape.
Well, yeah. I mean, how do you even begin to untangle copyright when you're talking about AI making original content?
Right.
Like, it's just mind-boggling.
It really is. And right now, it does feel like a little bit of a Wild West when it comes to that. Because these AI systems, they learn by going through tons and tons of data. And a lot of that data is copyrighted material just scraped from all over the internet.
So what you're saying is, like, an AI system could potentially just be studying the entire script of Avatar,
right,
learning Cameron's style, and then just spitting out a brand new sci-fi epic.
Yeah, potentially. And that's where all the legal battle lines are starting to be drawn, I think.
Uh-huh.
Because on one side, you have copyright holders who obviously want to protect their work.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, you have the people who are developing these AI systems, and they're saying,
mm-hmm,
well, if you restrict access to data, then you're going to stifle innovation.
Right. It's like we're trying to fit a square peg in a round hole.
Yeah.
Like trying to apply these old laws to this brand new technology.
Absolutely. And the courts are just now starting to actually grapple with these questions.
Yeah.
There's really no precedent yet.
So how does this all actually work? I mean, how is AI, like, copying this copyrighted material?
Right.
Like, are we talking about, like, making physical copies or digital copies, or is it something else entirely?
So think of it this way.
Okay.
AI systems, a lot of times, use what are called web crawlers to gather information.
Okay.
And these crawlers scan through websites, kind of like if you or I were browsing online.
Uh-huh.
But they just do it super, super fast.
So it's like robots reading everything on the internet.
Essentially, yes.
Yeah.
And as they're doing that, they're indexing the information and extracting content.
Okay.
Like text and images. And then all that gets fed to the AI system.
So you're saying that even that step,
mm-hmm,
like even gathering the data in the first place,
right,
could be considered copying copyrighted material.
The argument that some copyright holders are making.
Okay.
They're saying that, you know, even if the AI system isn't saving,
uh-huh,
like a permanent copy of the content,
right,
just creating these temporary copies, mm-hmm, to analyze is still reproduction under copyright law.
So even before the AI starts learning,
yeah,
there's already a potential copyright issue right there.
Exactly. And to make things even more complicated, copyright law as it stands,
yeah,
doesn't really mention anything about AI or data mining.
Right.
It's almost like we're trying to navigate a brand new city with an outdated map.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen this with other digital technologies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm thinking back to search engines.
Right.
And how there were arguments about, you know, them infringing copyright by indexing websites.
Yeah, you're totally right. Remember when search engines were being accused of copyright infringement because they were,
sure,
you know, showing those little snippets,
yeah,
of copyrighted material?
Exactly.
So what ended up happening there?
Did the search engines win?
They did, ultimately.
Okay.
The courts mostly sided with search engines, and it all came down to fair use.
Oh, yeah.
The argument was that search engines were using copyrighted material, but in a way that transformed it,
uh-huh,
for a different purpose than the original work.
So could the same thing apply to AI training?
Some legal experts think so.
Okay.
Their argument is that training AI is what they're calling a non-expressive use of copyrighted material.
Uh-huh.
So basically what they're saying is AI isn't just copying the content.
Uh-huh.
It's using it to extract patterns and information to create something new.
So they're not just reproducing it. They're actually making something new from what they're learning.
Right. And the people who believe this say that because it's transformative.
Okay.
It should be covered under fair use, especially if it doesn't hurt the market for the original work.
Okay. So that's one side of the argument.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm guessing copyright holders don't really see it that way?
Definitely not.
Okay.
They say that no matter how the AI processes the data, it's still copying a huge amount of copyrighted material.
Okay.
And that could potentially affect their ability to control and profit from their work.
So it's two very different perspectives then.
Right.
So you've got AI developers pushing for open access to data.
Yeah.
Saying it's critical for AI to advance.
Mm.
And on the other side, you have copyright holders who want to protect their rights.
Right.
And make sure that they're being compensated fairly.
That's the core of the whole debate.
Yeah.
And it has big implications for where AI goes from here.
Mm-hmm.
And how we find that balance between, you know, the rights of creators.
Right.
And the need to encourage innovation.
So is there any way to find some kind of middle ground solution that works for everybody?
There are some interesting ideas being tossed around. Like some people are advocating for data marketplaces.
Okay.
Specifically designed for AI training data.
Okay.
So imagine a platform where copyright holders could actually license their work for AI training, and they could set their own terms and their own prices.
So kind of like a stock photo website, but for AI training data.
Exactly. It could be a win-win.
Uh-huh.
AI developers would have access to more data.
Right.
And copyright holders would get paid.
That sounds promising.
It does. And there are some other ideas, too. Like another proposal is to have some kind of compulsory licensing system for AI training data.
Okay.
Kind of like what already exists for music licensing. So basically, AI systems could use copyrighted material for training, but they'd have to pay a fee to a collective rights organization.
Mm.
And then that organization would distribute the royalties to the copyright holders.
That sounds more streamlined.
It does.
But wouldn't it be really hard to figure out all those fees and like manage such a complicated system?
Yeah, you're right. There are definitely logistical challenges there.
Yeah.
But, you know, people are coming up with these creative solutions to try and navigate this new territory.
It's been really interesting so far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've talked about the technical side of AI training.
Yeah.
The legal gray areas.
Right.
Some potential solutions.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we need to think about?
Well, let's shift gears a bit.
Okay.
And talk about what this could mean for the future of creativity itself.
Okay.
Could AI actually become a co-creator working with human artists and writers?
That's a really interesting question.
It is.
We'll explore those ideas and more after a short.
Welcome back to our deep dive.
So we were talking about AI potentially becoming like a co-creator.
Right. Like up to this point, we've mostly been talking about AI learning from stuff that already exists.
Right.
But what if it starts making new creative content?
Yeah, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, it brings up some interesting questions. Mm-hmm. Like, could AI actually help artists and writers to, you know, come up with new ideas, push their creative boundaries further?
Yeah, I could see that, like AI helping a writer get over writer's block.
Right.
Or, you know, suggesting different plot twists.
Yeah.
Or for a visual artist, it could maybe help them make really cool new effects.
Exactly. There's a lot of potential for humans and AI to work together.
But then wouldn't that like change the whole idea of authorship?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if an AI is helping to create something, who gets the credit?
Right.
Who owns the copyright?
Those are some big questions.
Yeah.
And there are people saying that AI-generated content should be seen as a joint work.
Okay.
With both the human and the AI sharing ownership.
So like a band where everyone contributes to the music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
But it gets tricky fast because AI systems don't have the same legal rights as people.
Right. They can't sign a contract or collect royalties.
Exactly. So we need to come up with new legal frameworks that take into account AI's role in all this.
This is all sounding really futuristic.
Yeah.
But isn't some of it already happening?
It is.
I mean, I've seen articles about AI writing music and creating art.
Yeah, you're right. We're already seeing AI being used creatively.
Uh-huh.
Like there are programs that can write music in different styles.
Why?
Make realistic pictures just from a description.
Really?
Even write poetry.
So is this like the start of a new era for art and creativity where AI is a big part of it?
Maybe, but I think it's important to remember that AI is a tool.
Uh-huh.
That can be used in lots of different ways.
Right.
It can be used to make amazing stuff, but also harmful stuff.
So we need to be careful about how we use it.
Absolutely. We need to have honest discussions about the ethics of using AI in creative fields.
This conversation is just getting started, isn't it?
It is. There's so much more to talk about.
Yeah.
And it's going to keep evolving as the tech gets better.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what the future holds, but it's definitely an exciting time to be paying attention to this.
I think that's a good place to stop for now.
Okay.
We've covered a lot, you know,
yeah,
the technical stuff about how AI training works, the legal gray areas,
right,
and some ideas for solutions.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so we're back. And we've been talking about AI as like this potential co-creator.
Yeah.
Maybe even like this revolutionary thing for creativity.
It is really fascinating to think about where it could all go.
Uh-huh.
Imagine a world where these AI tools are helping artists and writers.
Yeah.
You know, get past creative blocks, come up with new ideas, explore new ways of expressing themselves.
It'd be like having this creative partner.
Right.
Just constantly brainstorming with you and pushing you to think outside the box.
Exactly. And it kind of makes you wonder, could this lead to like a golden age of creativity?
That's a big thought.
It is.
But I can see how AI could maybe make it easier for people to, you know, express themselves creatively,
mm-hmm.
even if they don't have, you know, traditional artistic skills.
Absolutely. And it could lead to totally new art forms, too, like mm-hmm. mixing human creativity with what AI can do.
But I bet some people would say that art made by AI wouldn't have like soul.
Right.
You know, or emotional depth.
Yeah.
Because it's missing that human touch.
That's a valid concern.
Yeah.
But you have to remember, AI is still just a tool.
Right.
It's an extension of what the human wants to do.
Yeah.
The creativity still comes from the artist or the writer.
Okay.
They're just using AI to explore their vision.
So it's more about like expanding what's possible.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not about replacing human creativity.
Uh-huh.
And as AI gets better, that line between human creativity and machine creativity might get even blurrier.
Yeah.
It's really interesting to watch it all unfold.
We've talked about so much in this deep dive.
We have.
The technical stuff about AI training.
Mm.
You know, the legal questions about authorship.
Right.
And even philosophical stuff about what creativity even is.
It's been a lot.
So what are the main things you want our listener to take away from all this?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that the future of AI and creativity isn't set in stone.
Mm-hmm.
We're shaping it right now with the choices we make.
So we need to keep talking about all this.
Exactly.
Explore the issues and find solutions that work for everybody.
Yeah, we have to be aware of both the good and the bad,
mm-hmm.
and make sure AI is being used ethically,
right,
to help creativity, not hurt it.
Well said.
Thanks.
This has been a deep dive into the world of AI and copyright.
It has.
And it's definitely a topic that's going to keep evolving.
For sure.
Thanks for joining us on this journey. And remember, mm-hmm. this is just the beginning of a much bigger conversation.
Absolutely.
The future of AI and creativity is in our hands.
It really is.
That's it for this episode of The Deep Dive.
Thanks for listening.
We hope you found it insightful, and we'll see you next time.
Don't ask what AI can do for you. Ask what you can do with AI.
Let's go.
Empower yourself at virtualstorylab.com.